Well, good evening, everybody. Glad you guys made it back today. And if you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5 this evening, we'll dive into God's Word. And before we do that, let's have a word of prayer and ask for God's help during this time. Lord, we do thank you so much for the day that you've given to us. Lord, the investment of time that we have here this evening. Lord, I pray that all that we would do this evening would be an honor and glory to you. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to challenge us, to change us, to work in our hearts. Bring us to a point of decision tonight, dear Lord, and then after that, give us action. We ask for your blessings upon this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, if I could do just a short reading for you this evening, verse number 15, says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Recently, in our Sunday school class, we've been involved in we're on week two, actually, of a five-week series entitled Redeeming the Time. And the whole capture of this Sunday school lessons is to urge us to take advantage of the opportunities that we have on a 24-hour basis, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, and then with our lives in its entirety. A couple things that we do know about time is time is limited, correct? We know that from Scripture. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, Scripture says, "It's appointed unto man once to die," right? So we know that there's a beginning. And we know for sure that there is a finite end to our lives. We don't know how long that is, but we pray that it is long enough for us to accomplish everything that God has set us out to do. That's our desire. That's our goal. We also know that time is fleeting. If you look in Psalms 144, verse number 4, Scripture says, "Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passes away." And then you're familiar with James 4:14 that says, "Our life is but a vapor. Here for a second, and then poof, it's gone." And the encouragement for you and I tonight is not that we scare ourselves into some type of activity. Not that we run around to and fro and like a pinball trying to accomplish everything. I'll give you a little cheat for tonight's message, and that's this. The work that we are to do is really God's work. It's really His. And He actually does the work. So when He says, "Would you work on this?" it's actually God's work. He's responsible for the results. We're responsible for everything before and the activity and the doing, which we'll talk about. But thank goodness they're God's results and not ours. It would be kind of fearful for me to know, "Hey, I did this." Because you know what happens when I do stuff? Sometimes it just fails. It doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. But when God does the work, it's complete. It's finished. And that's something that you and I can get excited about. But time's limited. Time flees. It's fleeting. And then on top of that, time is very valuable. Let's face it. So when we look back in Scripture in verse number 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time," literally capturing it. And if I could do like a translation on this in my own verbiage, it would be this, like buy it up, secure it, take advantage of it, cash it in now, redeem it, collect everything that you can right now so that you and I can use it. Not for our benefit, not for this world's benefit, but for our God's purposes, for His plan, for His will. You see, time can be lost. It can't be stored. You can't stop it. And I wish I could do that, especially with my children. Have you ever looked at your children before and you thought, I really can't believe you're this X amount of years old. How did that happen? What's going on? Our oldest son, Caleb, is going to be turning 29 this coming week. And Tamara and I were jesting just jesting with him today, saying, Caleb, we had three children when we were 29. And he said to Mom and Dad, that's great, Mom and Dad. Amen. And we were kind of like saying, you know, it'd be kind of nice if we had some grandkids, you know, inbound and on the way. And, you know, you got to get married in order for that to happen. So let's get the show on the road. We didn't say all those words, but that's what we meant. But it's amazing how time, how fast it goes and how valuable it is. So God asks us to manage it, to use it wisely. And throughout Scripture, God asks us to take the 24 hours that we have in our day and the months that we have and the minutes that we have in our day and to use them wisely and for His purposes. The word opportunity in our English language comes from a Latin word that is ab portu, a nautical term of sorts. And the idea is a ship is going to enter into a port, into a harbor. And there's only a segmented amount of time that that ship is allowed to get in and out of harbor because of high tide. Low tide, it can't happen. Now, with modern-day excavators, that can happen. But in the past, it could not. And so in order for a ship to be inbound and to drop its materials and its possessions at port, he would have to time it. And already the captain knew, I may have a couple of hours. I may have 3 hours. I may have 4 hours. But I know I've got to get out of here. And I've got to do my work while I've got the time. And you know what? That is very applicable for you and I today. We only have a certain amount of time to accomplish Christ's work. And I want to deliver to you some urgency today. Mind you, it's really God's result. It's God's work, but we are to perform. We are to work. And I want to give you a couple of challenges this evening, and one that really God's been working on my heart pretty steadily for the last couple months. And I want to jump off the pages of Scripture just for 1 second, and I want to share with you just some personal thoughts. Literally, if it was just you and I this evening, if there is one way that you and I could invest our time that you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt would return a great investment, you and I would do this. In fact, if I were to come to you tonight and I were to say, hey, listen, I've got this investment program. If you give me $10 tonight, next Sunday, I'll see you and I can give you $12 back. You'd say, oh, that's pretty nifty. I like that. And then I were to tell you next Sunday, hey, listen, things haven't changed. Would you like to give me $100? And you'd say, Bob, you're a little fishy, but I'll try it. So you give me $100, and next week I bring you back $120, and things are going great. And I say, well, listen, this program still exists, and I know that I can get a return on this. Bar none, I know exactly what the program is. You want to give me $1,000? You're like, well, okay, let's do this. And you keep on dragging the multiplier up, and all of a sudden, there's always a return on the investment. You'd say, wow, this is kind of neat. I like this. Well, I will share with you, and I want to share with you just as a friend tonight, I can guarantee you an investment of time will yield godly results if you focus on three things. These are all biblically based. We can go to Scripture tonight. I'm not going to on these points, but I want to share with you as a friend what I know beyond a shadow of a doubt yields results. Number one, and this is the wisest way that you can retain the time and get a result. Number one, spend time with God. I mean, it's really that simple, guys. There's one way that you can invest time and redeem it today, and that is literally spend time with your Savior. And I would encourage you to do that. You see why I'm talking to you as a friend this evening. I don't want to preach at you. I want to give you some encouragement. If you spend time with your Savior, it will yield results. I mean, eternal results. I mean, long-lasting, eternal, secure forever results. Amen. But you know what that means? That means you and I need to open up the Scripture. Right. It may be an app. It may be your electronic Bible on your iPad. I don't know. But you spending time with your Savior is very, very much needed in our society today. You think it'll make a difference in your family? Oh, yes, it will. You think it'll make a difference in your marriage? Absolutely, positively. Do you think it'll make a difference here at Marquette Manor? It will. And I want to encourage you, one way that you can redeem the time right now in your life is to spend time with your Savior. You know, anybody who's been in Sunday school class, I really believe that this point comes out in every single Sunday school class. And do you know why? Because this fundamental truth, this fundamental practice of Christianity changes lives. It always has, and it always will. So prioritize your time with Christ. Set some time aside and spend some time with your Savior, and don't let anything compete with Him. Number two, another great investment to redeem your time. You're going to get a great return on this, and that spend time with the most important ministry that God's given to you in this life, and that's your family. Spend time with your family. I don't know if you know this, Pastor mentioned this morning, that the traditional marriage is under attack today. The traditional child rearing, biblical child rearing is under attack today as well. I mean, literally, there's nothing that we stand for as Christians that's not being jeopardized or in some fashion under attack. So I would encourage you, husbands and wives, spend time with your spouse. Build them up in the most holy faith. Take some time, set it aside, pray, encourage your wife, encourage your husband. Let them know that they are the best thing that and the best gift that God's ever given. Spend some time with your children. I can probably get an amen out of Pastor on this one. Spend some time with your grandchildren. There you go. You know, and that's really easy, right? Because this is stuff that we want to do. We want to spend time with the people that we love. We want to encourage them. But Grandma and Grandpa, make no mistake about this. You can influence your grandchildren for Christ. It can happen. I've seen it happen before. The prayer of early morning, the prayer of midnight, praying for your child, praying for your grandchild, they certainly 100% make a difference. And that's why I talk to you as a friend tonight. As far as an investment goes, as far as redeeming the time, there's no better way to spend the most important time in the ministry that God's given to us, and that's our family. We live in a day and age, at least for my Sunday school class, we live in a day and age today where we can minister to our moms and dads still, right? They're here with us. They're not in the best of shape. They may be a little elderly. They may need care. But I will tell you, it's a blessing to spend time and to minister with your mom and dad, no matter what age they are. Number three, one of the best things that you can do to redeem your time is to spend more time on the ministry with others. That's the ministry of encouragement, the ministry of prayer, the ministry of serving. And let me dig into these just briefly for a second. There's not a single soul here tonight that doesn't need encouragement. You know, Pastor said about me, he goes, I like to encourage pastors. I really do. One of the things that I like to do, is it's one of my favorites, is to call up a pastor in the middle of the day. Usually, you know, they're screening calls, like all of us. I'll text. I'll say, hey, my name's Bob. I just want to spend a moment of prayer encouraging you. Usually I get a call back, and we'll just spend some time together. And just say, hey, listen, I don't know you. I just want to introduce myself, but I wanted to let you know, thank you so much for doing the stuff, like staying in the pulpit and preaching. And you know what these pastors say? Who are you? And why are you doing this? This usually people want stuff from me. They're not giving stuff to me. I've texted Pastor before, and I've said, hey, Pastor, thank you so much for the message. I think you're an awesome pastor. And he'd text back, I don't know about awesome. And I say, no, it's awesome. You're good, for sure. We are definitely blessed with our pastor, for sure. But really, the ministry of encouragement, there's not a single person here that does not need to be encouraged. There's not a single person here that doesn't need to be pulled aside and prayed with. There's not a single person here that if you spend some time with them up and surfacing from their life or some of the concerns that they don't voice, some of the trials and difficulties that they're going through, and you and I have been given the distinct advantage and opportunity as Christian brothers and sisters to build each other up, bear each other's burdens. Also prayer. you can do this. The ministry of prayer and the ministry of serving. Like literally taking something that you have, which is your time, and devoting it to somebody who's in need. Now listen, everything that we talked about, when we're talking about the investment in other people, costs you something. And you know what it does? It costs you time. And Scripture says, at this time, and with this on the scene, and my directives to you biblically, one way that you can redeem the time is use it wisely for my purposes. And I want to jump back into Scripture. That was just all personal, and I hope you guys are all right with that. Just friend to friend. I want to jump back into Scripture and let you in on something that God's been working in my heart about over the last couple of months, and that's redeeming the time for those who are lost. And really, it's worthy to be preached on tonight. It's worthy to be talked about. This is really Christ's heart. He has given us over, and we know through the directives of the Great Commission, we know through Mark 16:15 about going out and just preaching the gospel, and it's a directive. In the early church, back in Acts chapter 4, if you'll take your Bibles and if you'll head there for a second, I want to do a short reading, if we could. Acts chapter 4, I want to read verse number 31 through 35. Scripture says this, Acts 4, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Now, the early church at this point in time was like literally growing by leaps and bounds. And if I could mate the two as far as redeeming the time and our urgency to reach the lost, they literally were redeeming the time very correctly. They were taking advantage of what they had and directing it by witnessing, by sharing the gospel. And I want to share with you a couple of things. Back in the early church, they had no special apps. They didn't have a beautiful building. They had no internet. They had none of the things that you and I would rely on today to spread the gospel. You know what they had? They had each other, and they had their voices. And I know that you and I know this intellectually, and I know that you know this theologically as well. We are to communicate the precious gospel to others. It's a directive. It's something that my Father and your Father has asked you to do. This is His plan to save souls. It's not going to happen by chance. It's going to happen by purpose. And I want to share with you 3 points, and we'll wrap it up for this evening. And these 3 points are things that the early church did to redeem the time, and they worked. Don't you love stuff that just works? Man, have you ever had like a vehicle go down before? That is so frustrating. And you think it just worked a couple of minutes ago. What is wrong with this right now? And then you find out it was a small computer chip that went awry. Or something happened, and now it costs $1 million to fix this. It literally $1 million, almost every time. So it's very frustrating when things just don't work. And we love it when things do work. You and I love it when a plan comes together. And when we talk about God's plan for sharing the gospel, the early church executed God's plan. They redeemed the time, and it worked. Join with me in verse number 31. Scripture says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled together. They're filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." You know, really, in its simplistic form, one of the things that the early church did that worked, that they redeemed the time with, was, this one's a deep one, folks. Get out your pens. They spake. They communicated Christ. I mean, it's that easy. I mean, literally, here's how this goes. Out of their mouth, they communicated Christ. Now, I love the early church. We're going to talk about some of the character qualities of it in just a second. But one of the greatest things that they did to share was literally just talk to other people about their Savior and about the plan of salvation. Now, I know that you guys can talk. I heard Pastor Micah this morning saying, get back to your seats. All right, enough talking. Let's get church on the way. So I know that we can talk, and they did. They did the work. They did something. They said something. They initiated conversations. They asked the questions. They made the connections. And even in verse number 31, the last word is, they spake with boldness. Now, I used to think this, and this is just my own mind. I used to think that the only way that you could share Christ was this way, with boldness, with like a loud voice. I'm talking street preacher on the corner type of stuff. But it doesn't happen to happen that way. I mean, it can if you can. I don't know of anybody's personality traits in this room that would be like a street preacher. Maybe Brother Josh. I think he'd be good at it. But I don't know anybody else. And a lot of times, just conversationally communicating Christ to people that we love is incredibly vital and needed and commanded. So when we dig into this, one of the things, and this is just my take on Scripture, I really believe the reason why they spoke with boldness is because they were excited about the Savior and what was going on. Like, hey, like we've got a lot of events going on at church right now. I want to share some stuff, and I want to talk to you about my Savior. I want to talk to you about his death on the cross and what that means, about the resurrection and what that means, and what it means for you to trust Christ as your Savior. I want to share all this stuff with you and to do that with boldness and do it with confidence. Number two, they shared a solid message. So in verse number 33, Scripture says this, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Now, there is nothing more besides the plan of salvation that I like to talk to people about than the benefit package of being a Christian. Amen. Like, let's seriously think about this for a second. God gives us comfort. Can I get an amen? God gives us guidance when we're lost. He gives us peace in the midst of storms. Our God is powerful enough to calm the storm with a simple word. And we can share this with the unsaved. We can share this with our neighbor. And we can share with them all the wonderful character qualities of being a Christian and having a relationship with Christ. But I got to tell you, that's not the message that saves people. The message that saves people is the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And that he hung there and bled for our sins. And that there was a payment for our sins that nobody could pay except for our Savior. And he paid it for me, he paid it for you, and he paid it for those whom we speak to. And then on the third day, he arose from the grave. And there was a resurrection. Unlike any other God. And like unlike anything else that was worshipped at that time. You see, this is where I believe the boldness came from. This is where I believe the encouragement came from. And so number one, they literally just spake. They talked. They shared with other people. And number two, they shared a solid message of God's plan. Now, right here, laced within the pages of Scripture and in these verses that we spoke of, the early church was unified. They were together. They were unselfish. They were collecting goods, and they were giving to one another, very, very loving. And I love that about our church here. I love the fact that, like, people walk in, and they're communicated with, like almost immediately. Brother Tim Pelletier came in, visiting from South Bend. I know his brother. Walked in the back door, immediately made a connection. I was like, hey, I know your family. And I said, my last name is Muckenschnabel. And he said, what? Say that again? Who are you? I was like, well, I know your family. Like, we've got roots back from back in the days. And, you know, I've been in the churches before where I've walked in, and not a single person said anything. Like, I've sat down, like, looked around. The place is full of people, and not a solitary word was ever spoken. And I've even walked in with my my family. It's a bit of a circus with six kids and my wife and all the things that are going on, and not a peep. And then I've been in churches before where I've walked in, and immediately at the front door, somebody gives you a hug. And you're like, ah, all right, enough. All right, let me get to my seat, please. I enjoy a friendly church, and it certainly makes a difference to somebody who is here seeking answers and seeking Christ. Absolutely, positively. Well, the early church redeemed the time because they talked. They literally just did the work of sharing. Number two, they had a solid message. One of my revival buddies, one of my evangelist buddies, his name is Dave Young. We've got a longtime friendship. He came in, spoke at Sauk Trail Baptist Church, which is down in the south suburbs a little bit ago. And he said, hey, let's get together for dinner. So my wife and his wife are old friends. And so we got together, just laughed a lot and had a good time. And we went to the service. It was a Tuesday night, maybe Monday or Tuesday night service. Before that, we went to Red Lobster. Fine dining at Red Lobster. So sat down, the waitress came over for some reason. I remember her name was Destiny. Came over and she said, hi, my name's Destiny. I'll be serving you guys tonight. And I'll be taking your orders here just shortly. Can I start you off with any drinks? We told her, whatever we wanted, and she was off. Destiny came back, and David said to her, he said, Destiny, thank you so much for serving us today. I really appreciate it. You're such a nice lady. Destiny, I want to ask you, he said, I'm an evangelist. I'm a preacher. And he goes, I'm right down the road speaking at the church, Sauk Trail Baptist Church. And he goes, I'm going to be eating here shortly. But before I do that, I'm going to have a word of prayer. We always pray for our food. And he said, Destiny, is there anything that I can pray for you about? And her response was, yeah, you can pray. And she said, I'm trying to buy a house. And he said, okay, Destiny, when I pray, I'm going to pray that God delivers to you the right house, right price, you get your financing in order, that you close on it. I'm going to pray for God's blessing in this situation. She said, okay, awesome. The next time she came, Destiny delivered our food, everything was there, and he said, Destiny, I've got one other question for you. When I prayed for your house, and I asked for God's blessing upon it. And he goes, Destiny, would you do me a favor? When you give us the bill, he goes, I'm going to pay with a credit card. And he said, I'm going to slip a track inside. And he goes, would you do me a favor? He goes, I prayed for you. And I literally prayed for you and for your family and for your soul. He goes, would you do me a favor? Would you read through this pamphlet, please? Just take the time and read through it. And if you have time today, please do it. But please don't throw it out. And he said, Destiny, would you make a promise to me? Would you please read this? Please, please, please. It means a lot to me. And she said, I will. And he goes, okay, that's great. So I don't have a phenomenal ending to the story. I can't say that she got saved or she came to the meeting that night and went forward in tears. And all. I don't have that story. But I do know this. We did the work. We shared. The gospel was presented. And God's Spirit's in control now. And I'll share this with you. I'm very encouraged by the things that I think are super fun to do around church, like Under the Sea. I love the extravaganza. I wish we could have it every Saturday, but that's not possible for sure. And the Family Fun Fest, that was a blast. I love doing that. I love seeing faces that I don't know. The Family Fun Fest, I was doing popcorn. And, handing it out and making friends and stuff like that. I had a guy come up to me and he said, how much is a popcorn? And I said, well, if you're nice to me, I can give it to you for free. And he goes, well, how do I be nice to you? And I said, I don't know. Tell me your name. And he said, I don't know what his name was. And I said, well, how'd you get here? He goes, I don't know. I was just driving by and I saw you guys out here. And so I mentioned immediately, I said, hey, do you have a church home? Do you go to church anywhere? He goes, nah, I don't. I said, well, let me invite you at least to church. I said, our church is open. We've got Sunday school in the morning. We've got 10:30 service. And I said, evenings as well, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'd encourage you. Bring your family. Slip on by whenever you can. Love to see you. If you're here, you can sit by me. And he was great. He goes, why would I want to do that?
I said, well, you don't have to sit right next to me, but you can sit around me. We'll be friends. And I said, at least you'll know, you know, you'll, at least you'll know somebody. And we were just smiling and carrying on. But I'm really energized by stuff like that. I really love coming in contact with people that literally just need Christ. And you know what that deems us to redeem a time? That we just speak. We just talk. That we have a solid message about what Christ has done for us on the cross and how he's made it possible for mankind. And then finally, we can redeem the time by letting Christ do his work. Man, I love the fact that Christ is in charge of saving souls, and it's not me. It's not my work. Like, God asked me to make the invitation, to make the presentation, to talk about the truths of Scripture, but this is his Holy Spirit's work. And you and I can pray, we can invite, we can do the work. And I don't know about you, but like oftentimes, I sometimes just get intimidated talking to people. Now, can I ask you to just jump off the pages of Scripture for a second? And it's just you and I here. Do you ever get intimidated just sharing Christ with certain people? Like maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's somebody that's your authority or your superior at work. I have a couple people. I'm generally like comfortable with everybody, but there's a couple people that I'm just like not comfortable with. One of them who needs Christ is my next door neighbor. His name's Bill. This past summer, 4:30 in the morning, I'm up. I'm at the computer doing my thing, getting ready to start the day. It was actually on a Saturday, I believe. And I look out the window, and there's a ton of paramedics and ambulances, fire trucks. And I'm thinking Bill's not doing well. So I didn't do anything. I just stayed there, and I didn't want to call. I didn't know what was going on. And we're friendly enough to chat back and forth. So all of a sudden, my wife comes down the stairs at 4:30. Now I know something's up. she comes down the stairs, and she says, hey, Bill's on the phone. Dottie, his wife, is not doing well. Bill wants you to come over. I was like, all right, let's do this. I knew things were serious. So I went over there, and I can immediately hear the paramedics trying to save Dottie. It wasn't happening. But I kneeled down next to Bill's wheelchair and said, hey, I'm so sorry about this. I'm praying for you. If we can, I'd love to have a word of prayer. At the immediate scene, it was just too congested with paramedics and a lot of activity at the time, and his wife was literally passing at that time. Well, she passed, and through the next hour or two, Bill and I established really a bond, and we're neighbors. Bill's in a wheelchair, bound to a wheelchair with a degenerative hip disease, and the reason why I'm a little intimidated by Bill is he's a downtown big business lawyer, and he has been for 40 years. And everything that he does, anytime that I'm in communication with him, I mean, he's in lawyer mode. He's got out his legal pad. He'll ask me to come over and, hey, Bob, could you change the light bulb for me? I'm like, yeah, of course. All of a sudden, Bill's printing out, you know, the diagnostic diagram for the light bulb and the instructions on how to screw the light bulb in, you know, what ladder to use and all this other stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, I got this. We'll be fine. And, you know, I dearly adore him, but I am just intimidated by him. But guess what? I got good news. My responsibility is to talk. My responsibility is to share the gospel, to share the good news, to share the plan of salvation. And here's the best news. It's God's work. And God can draw him in. Big business attorney and lawyer from downtown. He can do it. He did it for you. He did it for me. And this is God's business. So why redeem the time by focusing on the lost? Number one, Christ said to. He said, preach to the multitudes, preach to everybody. Number two, every soul is valuable. Scripture says, what profits a man if he gains the absolute entire world, if he captures the entire world and he loses his own soul? You and I know this. Every soul is valuable. Every soul that rolls into the back of our church that doesn't know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior is valuable. Every person, every next door neighbor, every work associate, Every person that you don't even get along with at work is valuable. They're Christ's souls. Number three, in Scripture, Luke chapter 15, verse number 7 says, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So we know this, that when somebody accepts Christ as their personal Savior, when they repent and they find their home in heaven for eternity, there's a lot of joy. There's a lot of excitement in heaven when this happens. We know that this is Christ's heart. We know that this is what he's aiming for. We know that this is how you and I can redeem the time on the lost. Man, I think the programs here at church, the extracurricular programs reaching out to the community are so vitally important. And I want to leave you with a couple questions tonight, and then we'll be done, and that's this. I'm not going to ask you to try to witness to 20 people this week. I'm not going to ask you to confront your boss tomorrow morning with the plan of salvation, but I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you to pray, if God leads you to do this, and ask God for the opportunity this week to redeem the time. It may be with your family. It may be with your spouse. It may be with others, serving others. It may be with talking to the lost. Would you ask God tonight, and quite possibly, as God has worked in my heart about this, that you would request God's assistance, an opportunity to talk to somebody about Christ? You know, I know this, and you know this. If we pray and ask God for the opportunity, how many of you know that's going to come up? It's going to happen, right? It always does. Like, Lord, give me the opportunity to do this, and give me the opportunity to do that. And you already know, based on your relationship with God, it's all up to God's timing now. It's all up to God's perfect timing. Maybe that's your prayer tonight, and as we bow our heads and close our eyes, if God's working in your heart, make that simple prayer tonight. Let me encourage you to do that, and I'll pray and let Pastor take over. Lord, we do thank you for the night. We do thank you for the time together. And Lord, we're thankful that you are very concerned about how we spend our days. You're concerned about how we spend our 24 hours, about how we spend the rest of our evening. Lord, this matters to you. And so, Lord, I pray that we would redeem the time. We would take the opportunities that you give to us to serve you and glorify you and accomplish your will. And Lord, for our church, I pray that you would give us opportunities to serve and come in contact with the lost and take care of one another. Lord, we love you. We ask your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.